one body bag or two?
Hello, hello, and welcome everyone again. It is Tea Time Horror Stories or Tea Time Horrors, whichever one you like, whichever tickles your fancy. I'm back as your host. It's Sam, and then we have our co-host, Joe. Want to say hi?
Hello, and just to let you know, my fancy is always tickled when we talk about murder.
That's right, we're covering murder, but we also don't want to overlook that we have our third guest with us today. And of course, the returning James is here. Say hello, Jaimito.
Hello.
And of course, we have Freya, who's also here as well, being the adorable, cute little puppy that she is. So,
her ears are so big now.
Right, and she's getting a lot more wrinkles pictures on her face, too.
It's super cute.
She's like, loose skin galore. That being said, it's another week. I'm going to apologize that last week's episode came out late. My apologies. It's been a very, very busy week, and I didn't have time to submit it a lot sooner. So my apologies to that. That being said, nothing really interesting has happened. My kitchen's nearly up. We're still waiting on a couple things to finally have that going. Nothing too exciting, just work, and did I mention more work?
Working and
And looking for a job.
Freaking out. Freaking out our coworkers with the scary stories.
Yep, and like then Mariah.
Yeah.
Shout out to Mariah there for dealing with Joe for a day. It could be pretty hard.
I
deal with him all the time. That being said, alrighty, Joe, what is that tall glass of orange over there?
So I am drinking a tea from an undisclosed location. I don't know if we can say it because we're technically not marketed by them.
We let people know we've gone to Taste Tea before.
Okay, yeah, we have mentioned it before. But today I'm drinking Tropical Bliss. It is a mix of jasmine green tea with pineapple, orange, and guava juice. And I also added, what's it called? Aloe vera. Aloe vera tastes, it's a pretty good balance between the three. It's not too sweet. It's not too, too bitter. And the aloe vera adds an extra texture to it. So it's pretty damn yummy.
Probably not enough sweet for me.
Not enough sweet for you. No, definitely not.
James is drinking air.
I forgot my water.
He's still on his 45-day.
Yes, I am. I'm currently 320. Woot.
So,
from a starting weight of what?
445, 450-ish, around there. I don't know exactly. I know it was in that. I remember stepping on the scale and being like, it was like 448 or something. And I was just, John even saw it, and I was just like,
It said one at a time, please.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
No, it's not far from the truth. The scale was like, I'm breaking. I'm pretty sure I heard it crack.
He's drinking air. Joe has his probably not so sweet drink. I've decided to go back to a classic. I have the matcha thai milk tea. So matcha thai milk tea. It also has honey boba in it, crystal boba, and coffee jelly.
Coffee jelly.
So we've.
Can I have a taste?
No.
I want it.
It's got too much sugar.
You know, my cheat day is going to involve tasty.
That's
or
nice.
Three.
Nice.
But you can't have anything right now because you're on a diet.
I know. It's almost here, guys. Two more weeks.
That being said, I went back to a classic. I just have a lot of balls and stuff in there, and it's pretty good. We had an early day. We actually work usually Monday through Friday. Now that you guys know, we are recording today, which is a Saturday, and we had to go into work today.
Lucky us.
So it was pretty tiring and pretty boring, and they had us go in super early, and I wasn't happy about that. So anyways, that's enough talking about that and what we're drinking and what we're doing. As Joe mentioned earlier today, it's the week of the murder.
We get to find out how smart and cowardly and self-egotistical these people are. Yes?
Well, actually, we're not covering a murder today.
You just said murder.
Yeah, well, it's the week of the murder, it should be more like week of the true crime. So as you guys know, I'm trying to branch out just a wee bit when it comes to the week of the murder. It's not going to just be all about murder. It's just true crime in general. And true crime in general in this case is I am actually covering a missing person.
Ooh.
And he is still missing to this day. So
missing or a disappearance?
Missing.
Is there
I guess
a difference?
They can be the same thing.
They're kind of the same thing, but he's labeled as missing. So, shall we jump into it?
Yes, ma'am.
The person I am going to cover today is missing individual Brian Schaefer.
Why does that name sound familiar?
I've only been like researching it for a while now.
Well, I know you have, but I for whatever reason, I...
He's also been covered on quite a lot of other podcasts as well, because his disappearance is kind of like, well, most disappearances are like WTF, and he's of course in that category of what the fuck just happened. And when you hear about this stuff, you're just gonna, it's gonna be like, well, it sounds pretty open and closed, like it sounds pretty easy, but he's still
pretty
missing.
Cut and dry.
Yeah, pretty cut and dry. So let's get into it. Alrighty.
Deep into it.
Brian Randall Schaefer was a 6'2", 170-pound, with brown hair and hazel eyes American medical student in Iowa State University who's been missing for 15 years, 4 months, and 14 days as of March 31st, 2006. So not that long ago. Well, like his anniversary was not that long ago. On March 31st, 2006, Brian Schaefer went out with a group of friends before completely disappearing off the face of the earth on the early mornings of April 1st, 2006. He was
aliens.
That's what Claudia said. I was literally telling her about this, and she's all like, so what are your theories? So I told her my theories, and then she's like, you want to know mine? And I'm like, what? And she was just like, aliens. Like, God, fucking
it was the aliens, man. They need someone to probe.
So yeah, she claims aliens. You got a person on there that believes you with that. And maybe it is. Maybe it is. Because when you hear this stuff, you're going to just be like,
eye rolling.
He was abducted. So.
Was there flashing lights and an aura?
No.
Did he float in the air?
No.
Not aliens.
All right. So he was 27 years old at the time of his disappearance. And Schaefer's disappearance has been incredibly baffling to everyone involved in the case with how he disappeared. So let's get into it and the events leading to his disappearance. So Brian Schaefer was born February 25th, 1979 in Pickerington, Iowa, a suburb of Columbus, and the eldest of two sons, Randy and Renee Schaefer. He was, you know, he had a pretty normal life. He graduated from high school in 1997 and quickly enrolled in Iowa State University for his undergrad work. 6 years later, he graduates with a degree in microbiology. Once graduating, Brian Schaefer began study at OSU College.
So microbiology, isn't that like...
Microbiology.
Microbiology, that's kind of like cells and things that you have to actually see in like a microscope. And
yeah. What if he shrunk?
It's not honey, honey I shrunk my children.
I was thinking Ant-Man, but okay. You know, what if he became an ant?
That's a entirely different. That would be like engineering.
That's a Marvel theory, and I don't feel like paying them $1 million to use their theory.
That would be like engineering.
Well, I was thinking like, you know, my ant man. Yeah, my aunt. She's an ant. And everyone, continue.
You mean your aunt is a man?
There you go.
Dear gosh. Let's see.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that at all.
All right. So he began studies at OSU College of Medicine in 2004 to become a doctor. During his second year there in March 2006, his mother died of
mesothelioma?
I think that's how you pronounce it, but it's basically a form of blood cancer.
Okay, never mind. I thought mesothelioma.
It's not mesothelioma, it's myeloplastic something.
I was going to say, let me see.
Not even going to try it, but oh, it's a form of blood cancer, basically. She had been fighting it for some time. I think it was like 2 or 3 years she had been fighting it before she lost her battle with cancer. Though those around Brian said he appeared to handle her passing well, but it was those closest to him knew that he was truly struggling with her passing, and it was really hard on him. It was actually said the day of her funeral, he didn't show up until almost like 2 hours, and they waited the entire time for him to show up. And when he did show up, he used and told people that he had slept in, but people could tell that it hadn't looked like he hadn't slept for days. He was a complete mess. So his mother's passing really affected him. So it was said he had a real special connection with his mother. She was a nurse, and it was also said that this is what pushed Brian into becoming a doctor. After passing, it was said that Brian fell into a very dark place. During the time he was attending medical school, he met a young lady whom he became romantically involved with, who was also there to become a doctor as well. Her name was Alexis Wagner. The couple had planned on taking a trip to Miami at the beginning of April, which was actually a gift his mother had given both of them before her passing.
Ouch, that hurts.
Yeah. So they had been planning this trip for some time, and many had believed it was actually here that Brian Schaefer had planned on proposing marriage to Alexis Wagner. Many people had known Brian would know that despite his decision to pursue the medical career, it was something he actually didn't want to do. It was kind of sort of pushed on him, and it was kind of something that he sort of took up because he saw his mom being a nurse and thought, you know, that's a very admirable job.
And kind of wanted to follow in her footsteps.
Exactly. So he actually, what his real career that he wanted to do is he wanted to become a musician.
I was going to say, he wants to be a dancer.
I was thinking the same thing. Yeah.
Dance. Don't tell me how to dance, Dad.
Exactly. So he wanted to
Footloose it.
Oh my gosh. He wanted to be a musician. So he wanted to pursue.
It's Coco.
Oh yeah, huh? Know. Except it's not with shoes.
I was thinking Johnny Depp because he originally wanted to become a musician also, but he ended up like branching off into being an actor.
Well, we wouldn't have Pirates of the Caribbean without him.
Right. So yeah, Brian.
Is that Disney again? Are we screwed once more?
I know, dude. If we keep saying this, we're really gonna have to start giving.
So royalties. Disney don't screw us is the name of the title.
I don't even know if I want to put Disney on there.
Just spell it differently.
Right.
With a silent E or something.
Right. Put an exclamation point for the I or something like that.
An upside down I. Right.
So Brian would know that despite his decision to pursue a medical career, which was something he didn't want, but something that he pushed to because of his family, his true feelings was that he wanted to start a band to play music, much like Jimmy Buffett and his favorite band Pearl Jam.
Nice.
He actually had a tattoo of the stick figure that was on the cover of one of Pearl Jam's album covers on his arm.
Nice. I know what you're talking about.
He once wrote on MySpace, quote, I really love music, and this whole doctor thing is really just a job, only temporary, until I get my band together and put out a record.
Do you think his MySpace still exists?
It does. I want to own an island someday. Or at least a beach so that I can listen to Buffett all day and drink margaritas with my senorita.
And nice.
So, yeah, he was pretty passionate about it. His favorite person was Jimmy Buffett. He loved to listen to Pearl Jam all the time. So that was something that he really enjoyed. The year of 2006 was a crazy one for the Schaefer family. On March 31st, a Friday, classes at OSU ended for spring break. Brian Schaefer and his father, Randy, had planned to meet up and celebrate with a steak dinner together earlier that evening. They met up, and during their dinner, Ryan noticed that his son was extremely exhausted, having pulled all-nighters cramming for some important upcoming exams. Brian had told his father that he had planned to go out with his friends that evening, but was thinking about canceling due to how tired he was, and Randy believed that he was going to do this, but was not surprised to find out that he still went out. Randy had hoped Brian would stay home as he had bad feelings for the evening. Brian Schaefer did go out after having dinner with his dad. He met up with his friend William Clint Florence, where they met at 9 p.m. at the Ugly Tuna Saloon, a bar in the Southern Campus Gateway Complex of High Street in Columbus. It was said that this was a bit on the shady side of Columbus and that it had really horrible track of people disappearing, murders, and drugs.
I was about to say, the Ugly Tuna sounds like an area that you wouldn't want to, like a bar you wouldn't want to go to.
It really looks
like an ugly tuna.
I wonder if the shop is still open.
Like it was a dump or something.
It was recently closed only because the building wouldn't renew their lease.
Oh, I thought it was because of
COVID
reasons.
No, they technically have an Ugly Tuna Saloon number 2 in a different location, but this one was not, the release was not renewed. So after arriving at the bar about an hour and a half, an hour later around 10 p.m., Brian stepped out to call his girlfriend, Alexis, who had returned home to Toledo, Iowa, to visit her family before she and Brian Schaefer were due to depart in Miami that coming Monday. After the phone call, Schaefer and Florence went bar hopping, visiting several other drinking establishments and working their way down to the Arena District. At each stop, the two had one shot each in of hard liquor, and according to Florence, they were pretty sloshed at the end. I don't know.
With
the
just one shot of hard liquor?
At each place that they would go to, okay, that's okay. At least one shot plus beers or anything else so that they had.
So this is kind of like a at World's End type of
right, like deal. The Golden Mile type yeah. of deal. So they went around. But no one actually knew. He doesn't remember. Florence doesn't remember the actual number of shots that they had. But eyewitness showed and said that both of them were pretty drunk by the time they arrived back at the Ugly Tuna Saloon around 1:15 a.m.
Damn.
So after midnight, Schaefer and Florence met up with Meredith Reed, a friend of Florence in the North Shore, which is another neighborhood around Columbus, Ohio. Meredith Reed gave them all back a ride to the Ugly Tuna Saloon and joined them for the last rounds. While the three of them were there, Schaefer separated from the group. Florence and Reed attempted to find Schaefer. They called him and looked for him everywhere in the bar with nothing. They finally left with another group of people who had when the bar closed at 2 a.m. They waited for some time outside of the bar thinking Brian would come up, but nothing. When he was not among the crowd of people who left, they assumed he had left earlier, gone back to his apartment without letting them know.
So why am I like picturing gray aliens disguised as human beings just like wearing like a long trench coat and a cowboy hat, and they're just looking around, and they spot Brian Schaefer, and they're like, "That one," because he's so drunk.
Well, like, there's probably a lot of people drunk, but I was just like, I don't know.
Schaefer.
Yeah,
Schaefer.
Brian Schaefer. When he was not among the crowd of people who left, they assumed he had gone home. Throughout the weekend, both Alexis and Randy tried to call him, but he did not answer. On Monday morning, Brian missed his flight to Miami, and he and Alexis had scheduled long before. He was then reported missing to the Columbus police on Monday, April 3rd, 2006.
Was this bar near like a coast or something? Could he have walked out onto the beach and kept walking?
Not near a beach, but it was near a river.
Like a big river?
Columbus. This is Columbus. They have this big river system through the whole entire city.
Yipe.
So
are there crocodiles too?
No. This isn't like in Louisiana, Georgia area where it's swampy or anything. This is Ohio. They're a little bit north.
All right.
Alrighty, so the investigation for Brian Schaefer began at the Ugly Tuna Saloon and the bar where he had last been seen. Everyone knew that South Campus Gateway was cursed with high crime rates, so the bar had installed security cameras. They reviewed the footage, and it was there things get a little funky. Schaefer, Florence, and Reed were seen going on an escalator to the bar's main door because the bar was on the second floor at 1:15 a.m. Schaefer was then seen outside of the bar at 1:55 a.m., talking briefly with two women, saying goodbye, then moving off camera back into the direction of the actual entrance of the bar. That was the last time he was ever seen on any camera at all. The cameras did not record him leaving afterwards or just leaving the building at all. All the cameras.
Did they even interview the girls?
They did. And they said that he went back inside. The Ugly Saloon, or the Ugly Tuna Saloon. So, this is the thing. He entered and never exited. So, they don't know what happened after that. This is where theories go completely crazy. Investigators realize that Schaefer could have changed his clothes in the bar or put on a hat and kept his head down trying to hide his face. But both of those theories were debunked.
Yeah, that's kind of dumb.
I was going to say, why would he?
Yeah, he has a pair of spare clothes in his back pocket. Right,
and all the cameras that they got him on, where was that backpack that had the spare clothing? Or where it didn't look like he had any spare clothing on him.
Did he kill some drifter the cops in the bathroom around, right? And then take his clothing?
So the clothing part was debunked, and then the hat part was debunked because, again, they would have noticed someone wearing the exact same clothing that was trying to leave, except they have a hat on. So they were like, yeah, both of them were easily just thrown out and just be like, yeah, that didn't happen.
Maybe it was kind of like a Harry Potter thing where he went to the bathroom and then suddenly found himself at the Ministry of Magic or something.
Or no, dude, he had an invisible cloak in his pocket.
No, he just went through the toilet and poofed himself to a different place.
See, I like these ones better than those.
Diagon Alley.
At least ours is scientific.
Did he say Diagon Alley?
What did he say? Diagon Alley.
See, that's what I thought. Again, but where was he given the clothes? No idea. He didn't come in with a backpack. Again, it just says it was just really weird. Let's see. So some say the cameras just missed Brian Schaefer as he left.
What year did he disappear again?
2006.
Yeah, 2006. 26.
Yeah. So others say that he may have left the building by another route. However, the building only had one other exit. It was a service door that was generally not used by the public. In fact, the public couldn't use it, really. The service door also led to a construction site that officers believe would have been difficult to walk through with while sober, much less intoxicated, as Schaefer likely was at the time. Some even think that he may have taken the service exit and fallen into some sort of hole in the construction site and was buried alive.
You know what's weird is that there's a lot of construction down one of the freeways that we're doing, and the one thing that I keep thinking is just like, there's enough space to hide a dead body there, and then the workers can just like go right over it, and nobody will know the better.
Never know it, yeah.
Yeah, so that's something. Theory.
So maybe he fell into a hole, knocked himself out, woke up in cement.
He could have. Well, he would be dead. But it also could have been that he could have fallen, hit his head, and just died instantly. And
they buried him.
And they buried him. But there's standard procedures you're supposed to follow before you fill a hole with cement.
Yeah, but come on.
Like, that is
how many procedures get looked over all the time?
Yeah, so I'll get into that a little bit later. So after all of the searching, police began to consider the other possibilities besides an accident or foul play. Since Schaefer's mother had recently died, it was speculated that he had simply disappeared to grieve in solitude. But it seemed his disappearance was more permanent, but there was no evidence to support this theory as well. Those who had seen Schaefer that evening, including his father, were asked to take lie detector tests. Everyone who was asked to take the polygraph test passed, while William Clint Florence refused to take the polygraph test. According to Brian's brother, Derek, Clint spoke negatively of Brian after he went missing, which raised suspicion that Clint was somehow involved in Brian's disappearance. However, there has never been a shred of evidence linking Clint to anything.
What was the negative talking about? Did they know? Or?
The negative talking was basically saying that, like, he was hot-tempered. He was like they went out a couple months prior, they had a really bad argument and a falling out as friends. And then before they met up at the tuna saloon or the ugly tuna saloon, they apparently had made up and become friends again. But it seemed a lot of people said that their relationship was kind of rocky with a lot of arguments between the two.
Right.
So did
they say why he was mad? Or is there a reason behind it?
Well, he wasn't mad. He just said that he was basically painting his profile or painting his person is not as nice as someone who's, hey, I'm missing my friend. If your friend's gone missing, you would be like, yeah, they're really good friends. I want to find them. I want to help them find them. But he said some shady stuff about Brian that people were just like, for someone who's supposed to be a grieving friend, why would you say something like that?
Yeah.
Right.
So they just thought some of his comments and some of his statements that he said were just a little far-fetched. So months after Brian Schaefer had disappeared, Alexis Wagner continued to call his cell phone in hopes he would possibly answer one day. Usually, it went straight to voicemail, but one night in September, it rang several times before being pushed to voicemail. Alexis Wagner wrote to her MySpace page at the time, you know what's funny? I keep seeing Alexa, and our Alexa is like, yes.
Yeah.
Alexis is her name, not Alexa.
That's why I put mine Echo.
Well, I keep saying Alexa when it's Alexis. I'm sorry. It's Alexis, not Alexa. Alexis wrote on her MySpace page at the time, quote, I kept calling it to hear it purely because it was one of the best sounds I'd have ever heard, even if no one picked up. Cellular, which was Schaefer's wireless provider at the time, said that Wagner heard... What she may have heard had been due to the computer glitch and not the phone actually being turned on. So usually when your phone's off and someone tries calling you, it just goes straight to voicemail.
Yeah.
There was a time that she called it and it rang a couple times before it was pushed to voicemail.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So, but the wireless company were saying that was probably an error of some kind and not that it was actually on. But
maybe the cell phone company had something to do with it too.
But at that time, a ping from the phone was detected at a cellular tower in Hillard, which is 14 miles northwest of Columbus. This was investigated, but nothing ever came from it, unfortunately. Yeah. So they didn't find anything.
I mean, that's like their best lead, and they're just going to drop it?
Well, what can they do if they've investigated but don't find anything?
I don't know.
I mean, it's not like they dropped it completely. It's like, okay, we did our investigation.
What was the name of the city?
Hillard? Hillard?
To Hillard. Yeah. To the Batmobile.
So they did their investigation. They did their looking around, but nothing was found. So the police receive many tips, none of these which result in breakthroughs in the case. At a Pearl Jam concert later that year in Cincinnati, lead singer Eddie Valder took time between songs to ask for tips of Schaefer's disappearance, but none of those were useful either. So, so-called sightings of Brian Schaefer was seen in Michigan, Texas, Jamaica, and even Sweden. All were investigated and nothing was found. So even the ones that were out of country, they would go there and try and find stuff and nothing. So Randy Schaefer,
he's phase walking.
He's just like,
this isn't Jumper.
Right.
You ever seen those videos online of like supposed superheroes and they have like glowing abdomens or like their hands start to glow all of a sudden?
Yeah.
What if he's one of them? And he would just like one day just be like, what?
I have powers. Poof. I'm a jumper. Poof.
He blows himself up.
I'm dead. Poof.
I'm dead. Poof. Yes. Okay.
Too much. Poof.
He ends up on the moon. He's just like, I can't breathe. I don't know how to get back.
And cheese. Dead. The moon is not made of cheese. I was lied to. Alrighty. So Ryan Schaefer, who had recently suffered the death of his wife, continued to search for his son on his own. He contacted a psychic who told him that his son's body was near a bridge in water.
I knew it.
So he and Derek, Brian's younger brother, along with other citizens who had become interested in the case, spent much of their free time along the shores of the river. The river that's there.
It's too late, though. The current was taking it down a long time ago. He'd be that drunk, he got drowned.
I mean, yes and no, because since it's a river, it doesn't necessarily mean it connects to anything. It could have currents. It may not have currents. Rivers are not usually as strong unless they're going downwards.
I guess we got to do research on that river.
So they searched all the rivers in the area, but nothing was found. There was no trace evidence, whether like a shoe, clothing, phone, nothing was found. There had even been time and possibility that Brian Schaefer could have possibly became a victim of the Smiley Face murders.
I was going to say, maybe...
Here's the murder.
Maybe he... because the psychic said he was under a bridge in the water. I was thinking maybe he just got eaten by a troll or something.
See, that sounds more logical than just, you know, putting a hat on and a spare change of clothes.
Yep. So at the time that this was going on, there has been this theory of something called the Smiley Face Murder Theory. Basically, a Smiley Face Murders is a group of murderers, a group of serial killers that have been connected with possible victims that were found in a body of water with a smiley face discovered near or around the location of where their body was at. I will cover more about the smiley face murder theory. It's kind of wicked. It's almost cult-like in a way.
Sounds pretty cult-like.
It is. But in the end, this connection was later rejected by both the police and the FBI because of one main thing. His body was never found. And in the smiley face murders, all the bodies were found with the smiley faces next to their bodies. So how can he possibly be part of the smiley face murders if his one body's never found and two, there's no smiley face to prove?
Yeah, it kind of sounds like the smiley face bastards want their shit to be found.
Yeah, so exactly.
So they wouldn't make it like, impossible to find.
Yeah, and a lot of the smiley face murders, which don't happen all in the same city, but they all have the one thing in common. The bodies are found in a body of water with a smiley face around them. So their bodies are found. How can he be linked to this if his body's never found? The only reason why they linked it is because of his sex, his race. And he kind of fits the profile of the victims of the other smiley face murders, and that's it.
Okay.
So, but again, without a body or a face next to his body, there's no other link.
Was there a smiley face next to the rivers?
Well, there's
I understand how far-fetched that question was.
Yeah. Let's see. So 2 years after the disappearance of Brian Schaefer, another tragedy hits the Schaefer family and friends. In September 2008, during a heavy windstorm, Randy Schaefer was out in his yard in his Baltimore home clearing debris when a branch blew off a nearby tree and fatally struck him in the head and killed him instantly.
Damn.
Yes. Neighbors.
Was that the brother who was having issues with him?
No, he doesn't have a brother.
The friend was the one that was having issues.
Yeah, that was his dad. So neighbors found his body the next morning and then they called police. After his obituary ran online, a condolence book was posted for people to post things online. One of the signatures, it is said, quote, "To Dad, love Brian from the U.S. Virgin Islands."
That's a cruel fucking joke there.
Yes. So this suggested Brian might have left Columbus for a new life elsewhere. However, upon further investigation, the note was found to have been posted from a computer accessible computer in a public facility in Franklin County.
I was gonna say, and was like determined to be a hoax.
Yeah. Yep.
That's cruel.
That's pretty fucking cruel.
So
I hope you're listening. You're a dick.
Yep. You're a dick. They are a dick. Oh man, that was just like an ADD moment for me. I was just like, "Oh, squirrel, you're a duck."
Squirrel.
Basically, is what happened. It's like he said it, you said it, and even though it wasn't like halfway in my sentence, you're a duck.
I'm not your guy, friend.
Not your friend, guy.
Oh my god.
Alrighty.
That episode.
All the episodes. Let's see. The Schaefer family had a private investigator who had volunteered his time to help the Schaefer family find Brian. His name was Don Corbett. Shortly after Randy's death, Neil Rosenberg, attorney for William Clint Florence, the guy who was last seen with Brian, wrote to Don Corbett regarding his client's ongoing refusal to take a lie detector test. This was really weird. People were like, why is he reaching out to them? Like, it doesn't make sense. But apparently the attorney felt the need to reach out to the private investigator and give him this statement. So, he reached out to the family. The attorney, Rosenberg, had implied that he had learned that the Columbus police were investigating the case because they believed Brian Schaefer was alive. This whole thing with William is pretty insane, to be honest. The moment police were called on the disappearance of Brian Schaefer, Clint right away backed away. He moved away, changed his name to William, and tried to escape. So that's why I've been calling him William Clint Florence. So his real name was Clint Florence. But after this accident happened, he completely tried to erase himself and become William Flores.
This is the private investigator?
No. This is the friend that was last seen with him, yeah, Clint.
The one who declined doing
the lie detector test.
Oh.
So that's kind of suspicious.
It's super sus. Super sus. The fact that the moment they involved the police, he lawyered up, refused the lie detector test, instantly changed his name and moved to Texas to get away from all of this.
It could have been a drunken accident. Maybe he's just freaking out.
That's one of my theories, but we'll get into the theory. We'll get into that theory.
I'll let you finish that.
So he refused to work with the police and only ever gave his story of what happened that night once, and right away got a lawyer and refused to ever go over his story again. He's like, the lawyer would be like, my client gave you his story. That's all you need. You only need it once. Versus one tactic that police use is they always go after someone to have them repeat the story thousands of one times, like a lot of times, to see if there's any holes or any like inconsistencies in their stories.
Right.
And in this case, the lawyer was like, nope, you just need to hear it once. That's all you need. That's all you need. So I just thought, like, that's suspicious. Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious. Like, that was just majorly suspicious.
That's very suspicious.
So, personally, I think if he has nothing to hide, why did he go this far to try and try to hide? Yep. I think he's hiding stuff. I think he is hiding a lot of stuff. I know he knows more than he's willing to let out, but I'll get more into that when we cover his theories.
He's part of the smiley face people.
Well, he's an alien.
He is the alien.
In April 2009, The Lantern, a student newspaper from the university, disclosed the exchange between the lawyer and them. So this is what the lawyer Rosenberg sent. Quote, if Brian is alive, which is what I am led to believe after speaking with the detectives involved, then it is Brian and not Clint who is causing his family pain and hardship. Brian should come forward and end this. Unquote. Rosenberg was reported to have said this to them, and Clint Florence has said he does not have anything to hide. He had merely told everyone what he knew from the beginning. It did not see the value of doing it over and over again. because you're helping to try and find someone, I think would be a good enough value. Well,
that's a value if you ask me.
Right.
I'm going to look for my good friend.
Right. You guys were supposedly buddies. You guys were roommates. You guys were a bunch of like really good friends, but you're only wanting to help out once. That's not shady.
Yeah.
So many of those who were close to Brian Schaefer.
That was sarcasm, people, if you didn't catch that.
Just a wee bit.
Hashtag sarcasm.
Right. So many of those who were close to Brian Schaefer had criticized Clint Florence for not being forthcoming enough. Quote, as soon as the detective started getting involved, that is when he pretty much had no connection with anyone, end quote, recalled Derek, Brian Schaefer's younger brother. Quote, I've always thought he definitely knew something, just wouldn't come forward with it. He believes it is still possible that Schaefer's alive and Florence knows where he might have gone. If Brian did take off somewhere, if that is the case, we just always had a strong feeling that Clint would possibly know where he's at. And that was a quote from his girl, Brian's girlfriend, Alexis.
That's another theory that I think is probably one of the main theories, is that he decided to go off, start a new life on his own, and his friend
helped him out.
And
that's what Alexis, Brian's girlfriend at the time, said. Mm-hmm. She's like, I honestly think he's still alive, but I think Clint helped him escape and go to the life that he wanted to live.
That's because her and Clint are in it together. Boom.
Well, she was always helpful throughout the whole entire thing. She did lie detectors and everything too, and she came out like if she knew nothing. Let's see. So Alexis always believed that Florence knew something and he was just withholding information, but believes that it's likely her former boyfriend. But it took her years to believe that her former boyfriend is dead, but did not just run off. Former she says, boyfriend. "Quote,
former boyfriend."
Well, yeah.
I
she's not going to wait years.
No, I keep hearing former boyfriend. That's
former boyfriend.
Okay.
Yeah, that's so
a tongue twister there.
For you, not me. Former boyfriend.
It's for us guys, it's hard.
I don't talk so good.
Okay.
Sorry,
guys. But it's believed that it's likely her former boyfriend is dead and did not run off. She says, "I can't imagine he would have done something just like that."
I don't think so either. He was going to ask to marry this girl. He had some kind of love for her.
Right. So
it's not something he's just going to disappear on.
Exactly. I mean, with everything that was going on, they were going to go to Miami together. They were going to have a good time together.
I mean, the worst thing that's happened to the guy's his mother died, which is going to happen to everybody.
Eventually.
But, I mean.
Right. My mom, by the way. Right. So as of recently, Columbus police said that they are still receiving at least 2 tips a month on the case via the local crime supporters hotline. Unfortunately, none of these tips have proven to be useful. There was at least 4 boxes full of evidence about the case and is considered an open case, so unfortunately, I couldn't request any information. It's under state law. If it's still considered an open case, they cannot give out information unless it's to family, but even then, it's still not, they can't give out everything, versus if this was a closed case, by public records, you can actually request case files.
Yeah.
So one of the original investigators, Andre Edwards, told Columbus Monthly that after extensive review on the camera footage of the Ugly Tuna Saloon from the night Schaefer disappeared, which was intended to rule out the idea that he could have left in disguise, he says 100% certainty that Schaefer did not leave via the escalators. Police say that they have 3 theories about the case, but decline to discuss them even generally at all to anyone or even the magazines because it's an open case. So they have three theories, and people can kind of guess what those theories are, but they can't. They're not going to share anything. Between Schaefer's disappearance and his own death, Randy joined the families of other missing adults in Iowa in lobbying the state legislature to pass a bill establishing a statewide protocol for such cases. At the end of Schaefer's disappearance, it is left up to individual departments of how to handle cases and how parents felt investigations into their relative's disappearance has suffered as a result. So when an adult goes missing, you can report them missing, but most of the time the investigations are taken with a grain of salt. If a child goes missing or a teenager goes missing or, an elderly person goes missing or something like that, they are taken hardcore. They can be reported within hours of them being missing, and there's an investigation rolling and going. If there's an adult that goes missing, the 27-year-old male, he goes missing, usually they don't want you reporting that he's missing for a couple days.
Isn't it like some 48 states hours? It's like 48.
48 to 72 hours, yeah, usually. Yeah. And even after you reported them missing, the police investigators usually don't take it serious and don't put it on the front of the cases for them to look at, because they're like, they are a consenting adult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, no homo. He's a pretty good looking dude too.
Yeah. Brian Schaefer. He's super handsome, super like everything. Yeah. But
like, why would he just run off? And I mean,
it makes no sense. Makes zero sense.
I mean, he's successful. He's good looking. His girl's pretty.
Right. His dad, Randy, lobbied and basically said that police need to take the disappearance of people more seriously, regardless of their age and their status or anything like that.
Like we have Amber Alerts for kids. We should have like Steve Alerts for like grown adults or something.
Exactly. And we have Silver Alerts for older people who are missing as well.
I like Stan Alerts.
That so, yeah, there's all these different kind of alerts. Amber Alerts for kids, silver alert for adults and stuff like that, elderly people and so on and so forth. But we don't have anything for...
Well, I guess it's because a lot of, you know, people who get old decide they just going to go... And it's not necessarily that they're disappearing. They just want to leave. But I don't think this guy would have left. No. That doesn't make sense.
I don't... Out of everything that's happened, the last thing on my list of him...
I mean, even if they do, and let's say they make this Steve alert, we'll just call it a Steve alert, and someone does find this Steve that is missing, you know, they just tell him, hey, I don't want to be found. So the Steve alert is a great idea, but at the same time, I understand where they're coming at, because a lot of grown adults just want to get away.
Sometimes.
And that's their right to do so.
Yep.
But it doesn't make sense in this case.
Like, yeah.
At all.
So him and a bunch of other people with kids that are missing and so, or people that with loved ones that are missing are still pushing for this to get pushed. As of March 29th, 2001, nearly 15 years after Ohio Bureau of Criminal Investigation released an age progressive photo of Schaefer, hoping that the image might generate new information in his case.
Do we have that? Do you have that?
Wait, it's online. You can look it up.
What was the year again?
2006. And then as of March 29th, the 15 year anniversary, like a month ago, they released an age progressive photo of Schaefer and how he would look at 42.
Hmm. For some reason, I thought I heard 2001.
No, 2021.
Okay.
Yes. So if anyone has any information or tips, please submit your tips to Columbus Police at 614.
It's really hard. He has a pretty common face.
Yeah, he has a pretty common face to begin with, even when he was younger.
Yeah.
So he's pretty general looking. So Schaefer would be 42 years old. If anyone has any information or tips, please submit your tips to Columbus Police. Number is 614-645-2358. Schaefer was last seen wearing blue jeans, a blue or green striped shirt, and tennis shoes. Again, if you have seen any information or have any information about Brian Schaefer, please call the Columbus Police at 614-645-2358. And lastly, if you go online, people will say that this is kind of an update, but it was debunked. There was this picture of this guy in Mexico, a homeless individual that was taken, and people kept saying that it was him. And in fact, when they approached the homeless person, they asked him, "What's your name?" He says, "My name is Brian," but wouldn't give a last name.
What? When
they did the investigation to go find him, I tried looking into this. They just said that theory was debunked. I don't know how they debunked it. They said that they debunked it by going to the FBI, took a photo of his face, compared it to Brian Schaefer, his face, I guess, on there, and it was not a match. So they're saying that homeless person's not him based off of facial recognition. But, you know, if they just go up to the homeless guy and says, hey, show me your...
Yeah, I just found a picture of it.
Show me your right bicep, and he has a tattoo, maybe that's him. Or if they just do a DNA of him, it could be him. It was
dental records.
It was kind of, I didn't really put it in here, but I will talk about it for a second. It's something to take for a grain of salt. When I was doing my research on Brian Schaefer, there was some hints that he was into cocaine, because it helped him stay up to help study and stuff like that. So there was, I don't know if this is 100% true. I'm pretty sure this is just theories and what people were saying and what people have said about him, that he used to do cocaine. Whether it's been true or not, I don't want to say that he was a coke addict or anything like that, but maybe, you know, it is a theory that he p- pissed off the wrong person. He was on the shady side of Columbus.
Yeah.
So maybe he was trying to get drugs, didn't, you know, try to steal it. Something happened to him. That was a theory, a very low theory of something, but I have three theories here that sound a little bit more.
It was said he's reported missing on April 1st. It was an April Fool's joke. That lasted so many years.
Well, technically he went missing on the 31st of March, but he last was seen April 1st at like 1:15 a.m. So kind of April Fool's, I guess. So
it's not an April Fool's. This guy's really missing.
Right. So let's go over some theories and even my personal theory of what I think is going through it. So I have read a lot of online and some say that maybe he's an unfortunate victim of the smiley face killers. I myself don't buy it. I really don't think there's any evidence to point to this. Sure, he fits the profile of what a smiley face killer was looking for in a person because he's a handsome young male who was a student. And that's what mostly the profile was for the smiley face murderers. But there's no consecutive evidence, or there's no evidence
to prove. You said he was seen with last two. Do they have anything to say that the smiley face murderers could have been maybe girls or guys? The last two people we've seen were girls.
Well, every person who's been killed that was a smiley face murderer was a very athletic male.
Okay, so, you know, if this is a cult in matter, I mean, you really got to do some research on these guys, but if this was a cult, it could have been a cult of like 15 per se girls.
But people would have noticed that. A group of 15 girls walking around cult-like.
I'm just saying, it doesn't have to be 15. It can even be 3.
Reason why they're saying it's a cult-wise, because the smiley face killer has been linked to different states, different people, different locations. So they're saying that it could be that it's this rope of people that are just going around and copycatting each other. So whether it is a male or a female, there was even a theory going around that the Zodiac killer was a bunch of pissed off females going around and killing people. Who knows? It could have been male, could have been a female, but we're not even going to talk about the smiley face killers because that's completely different and has been proven that he's not part of it.
Okay.
So we'll cover that on a completely different pod or a completely different episode. But it's been debunked. A lot of people online have found ways to debunk it as well. So another theory, which I mentioned earlier, was that he fell into a hole in the construction site and was sadly covered by cement. To me, this has more merit than the smiley face killer. As we all know, Brian spent the whole night bar hopping and doing a lot of shots. It was safe to say that he was pretty drunk. The only other exit apart from the front was the emergency side door that led to a construction site. Everyone involved in the case have all agreed that it would have been pretty hard for a drunk individual to navigate through the building as it was dark and very chaotic, but it's not impossible. If he was careful enough, he could have made it through, but at the same time, there was a lot of holes that he could have easily fallen through and therefore been covered by cement. But this still doesn't make so much more sense. I am sure construction workers would have seen him passed out. If not, usually they're supposed to check before they actually pour the amount of cement. But they took cadaver dogs to that location with his scent and they found nothing.
You're not going to find some scent on the cement.
Dogs are trained to cadaver dogs are trained to sniff out bodies regardless through different things.
Through cement?
Yes, through cement.
There was actually an episode of Mythbusters 2 where they're trying to find, like, they're testing theories for Jamie Hoffa. And one of the things that they did was they actually got a pig carcass and buried it 6 feet underneath the ground, put cement and everything over it. And they said that they still had cadaver dogs go by and even threw cured cement and 6 feet of dirt. The dogs were still able to locate the pig. Yep. So
they're called cadaver dogs for a reason. These dogs are specifically to go and smell out for dead bodies. And they can go through things that are super thick, concrete and everything, and they're able to get it and to smell it. And when they took the dogs to the Ugly Tuna, there was no scent through the construction site.
I got a I got a juju
there. Yeah, so that was something that they ruled out, was him falling into the cement place. I mean, it's still likely to have happened. It could have happened. Maybe the cadaver dog was having a bad day and maybe he had a stuffed up nose and didn't smell it correctly. But, you know, that could have likely been a chance, but I think that theory stands a little bit more merit compared to some other theories that are out there. Some even said that another theory that was said out there
that
was
has
that
to be like a superpower. I'm not over these dogs, man. This dog, like, that has to be a superpower. I can sniff through anything.
Yeah, that's why remember they the movie use Animal? Them.
What's up my butt?
Yeah,
keys.
Exactly.
He's good.
Exactly. So
that movie was so ridiculous.
They were these dogs are very good at what they do. It's their job. But among other theories that I heard, like one of the theories that was out there, which I thought was weird, was because again it goes back to the whole drug theory that maybe he was looking for cocaine and was looking to score cocaine from the band. But the band had claimed that they had never talked to him the entire night at all. So there was a live band there at the Ugly Tuna Saloon. And supposedly Clint and a couple other people he was hanging out with said, yeah, he was going to go talk to the band to go see if he can get some stuff from them. And the band was like, he never made it to us. So if the band is trying to hide sin, of course they're going to say. But they also took lie detector tests and determined they were telling the truth.
So the only really shady person here is the guy he was hanging out with that night.
Clint. Yes, which I'm about to get into my theory with this guy. So there are other crazy theories, but so here's this guess. And I saw this a couple times. My mind was a little blown about this, but what if Brian never left the saloon? What if he never left Ugly Tuna Saloon?
That's actually what I was thinking too.
Like, yes.
He literally...
There's this theory going around online, and it's blowing up online. That some say that he could have died from an overdose or he could have been killed. And apparently, you know, I kept reading in different places that he was into coke. And I found, but there's no truth or proven that he was into it. But they're saying that what if he OD'd or what if he fell and broke his neck or hurt himself? And then the staff or the band panicked. And instead of taking him out back, they buried him in some nook and cranny of...
The cadaver dogs would have found him.
Right. So, again...
Unless they disguised him.
This just...
Dude, if you can't... Okay, if the dogs can smell something, like...
This just reminds me of that movie with the girl that's in the wall and, like, they find her after so many years and so on and so forth.
Oh, with Kevin Bacon?
Yeah, with Kevin Bacon in it. And he was, like, digging all over the place because, like, something was telling him to dig and something like that.
Bacon...
So I just thought this theory was just so like out there and so many people were just like, I so believe this.
Well,
I so believe
they
this.
Said the original Ugly Tuna was torn down.
No, it's still there. The building is still there. It's
so
just...
now we need to go there and hit some walls.
So, yeah. So with the help of the band that was playing and fearful of lawsuit, the staff snuck the body out of the emergency exit, disposed of the body in a trash bin. They're also saying that maybe they snuck it out of the emergency and threw it into a trash bin. Because remember, he was reported missing Monday. So technically, and they didn't start looking for his body until in the evening until Monday.
If it was thrown in the trash bin, the garbage people would have...
You want to know how many bodies get disposed into the trash bin and they don't get discovered? Until years later or until after they've been dumped?
No.
There are still people bodies have been thrown in the trash bin and their bodies have not been found. Killers admitted to throwing their bodies in the trash bin and they just get dumped. They don't look inside the trash bins.
I wonder if the Ugly Tuna had a grinder.
Okay, so this is what they were saying. Not they a grinder them. Like a meat grinder. Yeah, this isn't Bob's Burgers, okay? So
they served them to people.
Right. Oh. So they were saying that he could have been put into a trash bin or a compactor, one of those compactors.
Trash compactors,
and then left there to get picked up. Some even said that they may have stuffed his body somewhere inside the bar, but this is unlikely as police supposedly checked every nook and cranny and the cadaver dogs didn't find anything to hide the body. And plus, after a certain amount of time, I'm pretty sure there'd be a foul odor coming from somewhere. And nothing has ever been reported. But again, I just thought this theory was worth mentioning because I just thought...
Could you imagine going to Ugly Tuna and being like, yeah, I want some tuna. And they come up with this nasty ass stuff. And you're just like, well, it's from the Ugly Tuna, so it must be.
And the slices of human. It's like, this is a special human special.
I read a horror story from the No Sleep subreddit. About this girl who was like trying new sushi from other places, and there was this one where she looked at the sushi but she couldn't identify any of the sushi that she was eating, And it's just like this really obscure thing. She's just like, I almost didn't want to eat it, but I ended up eating it anyway. But it was the best sushi I've ever eaten.
And it was human.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think it was. It wasn't human, but it was like mythological creatures. That's.
I wonder if there's been a serial killer who's like serves. Well, other than Sweetie Todd, who I'm not sure is real or based off a real character.
Yes, there is serial killers that did eat and or serve their food to people.
Yep. Hannibal Lecter was
no, the eating part I know that, but the serving to
that's
others,
that's why it's called cannibalism.
That's why. Well, I understand that. I know that there were some murders out there who ate their victims, but I don't know if there was any out there who was like, here, have a taco.
Yeah, we'll get there when we get there. Those
never
are
eating at a taco stand again.
Carne asada.
It's carne de rata.
Carne de human.
Alrighty, so, again, that theory I just thought was worth mentioning because I thought it was hilarious. So here is another theory. So, and of course, there's a theory that Brian left to start a new life. I mean, he could have simply walked away from his current life or started a new one, but who would have thought this, right? Why do this now? Why now? His mother, who was very close to him, just passed away 3 weeks before he disappeared. Which, it was odd. Everyone around him said that he was grieving, but it seemed to be handling the loss in healthy ways. People were saying that the only reason he may have left was because maybe he was tired of the life that he was living. He had always wanted to be a musician. He always said that he became a medical student because...
So he went to Mexico, became a musician, became homeless? That doesn't sound right at all.
Right. So it was his backup plan and he always wanted to be with music, but... Why is this a valid reason for him to just disappear?
It's not.
He could have just dropped out of school and tried to go down the field. His family would have been 100% supportive of him anyways. He was truly and deeply in love with Alexis and had planned on marrying her. And he had, I mean, this was, his grades weren't the best, but they weren't the worst either.
So he was an average student.
Yeah, and but he had a bright future ahead of him.
He had potential.
And if he wanted to do this, why did he leave with nothing? No money, no extra clothing. His car was found still parked at his apartment location, which was like 5 or 7 blocks away from the Ugly Tuna. It just didn't seem right, and it just didn't seem right or fair. Again, I thought this theory was stupid unless Clint helped him and like, here's $10,000 or whatever money, go restart your life. It doesn't make any sense. Nope. So I quickly threw that theory out as well. Personally, I think he met with foul play.
I think his friend Clint pushed him into a construction site, bopped his head, and then the dogs had a bad day.
Yeah, so personally, I think he was met with foul play. The area that was well known for being shady as fuck, people went missing all the time. Muggings were happening all the time and people's places were broken to all the time. In fact, several weeks after Brian had disappeared, his house got broken in. But they found that there was no connection to his disappearance with this house being broken into.
It was just bad timing.
No, that's weird.
Right. I thought that would be a linking or a link of something or something at all. But they had found the person who broken into there and it was just some random hoodlum who broke into there. Because a lot of the places in that area, since again, it's the shady part of Columbus.
Yeah, but how would you know no one was there?
Could you imagine that,
if you're sitting there standing outside ready to break into someone's place and you notice no one's been going there for a long time, maybe they're on vacation.
Or maybe he had their ID.
Or they just see that the place is empty.
Could you imagine, though, being that thief and breaking in and then later being caught by the police and being like, so where'd you hide the body?
Exactly.
It's like, I'm sorry, what?
So, yeah, I think that he either, maybe he was mugged and it just got out of hand and they disposed of the body.
Then it's like the ghost situation, the movie Ghost.
Not the because he wasn't with anyone, so how could it be like ghost?
I know, but still, it was supposed to be a mugging, but it was actually a hit. But
I don't think it has anything to do with the hit. I just think he was in a shady part of Columbus, wrong place at wrong time, and he's gone. I personally don't think he's alive anymore. I think if it wasn't a mugging gone wrong, I think Clint has something to do with it, personally. I also think Clint has something to do with it as well. I know he knows more than he's willing to let on, Who else would make such shady comments? Why did he refuse to help? Why would he suddenly stop speaking with Brian's family, who he was close with? Why did he change his name? Why did he move far away? Why would he request? And this is the one thing that blew my mind. Why would anyone request immunity for talking to the police about the case? Yes. Those of you who can, since this is recorded, y'all didn't see James and Joe's face. He said that he would speak with the police and give him his information again if he is granted immunity to whatever may happen.
Yeah, I could see that happening.
What the fuck?
Right.
The police officers are just like, so that's not shady.
Yes. So, and again, he changed his name. I think if these guys have gotten into arguments before, they got into an argument again. Maybe things got heated. They were drunk. When people are drunk and you get heated, sometimes fisticuffs come out.
Oh, yeah. Me and my best friend, we fought. Ugh, me and my two best friends, we fought and we've been drunk. And then we get together and we're like, what happened? You're like,
I don't know. And I think that's what happened. I think they got heated. I think punches were thrown. And I think Brian may have fallen and accidentally hit his head. I don't think it was intentional. I don't think he planned and murdered him. Same. But I think that it was an accident that happened and he freaked and he panicked.
Especially since they were heated already before.
Exactly. And I think he just freaked, he panicked, and he got rid of the body.
And in the construction site.
At the construction site or in a dumpster. I honestly think he was in a dumpster. I don't think he's anywhere near the tuna anymore. I don't think he's anywhere near that. I think honestly they fought
in the river, like the psychic said.
Maybe they fought in a river. Well, a lot of places that are dumped.
But that doesn't make sense. It wouldn't make sense because his body never even left the tuna. So
technically it would have if the cadaver dogs would have lost the scent if it was picked up by the dump truck, put into the car, and driven away. It would have lost the scent there. Because the scent stops there. So if his scent was stopped.
They got mad. So here's a theory. They got mad, went out the back door that nobody uses.
Fought in the construction site area, which right around the corner is where the dumpsters are at as well.
So fought, died, dumpster, next day. Wait, what day did he die on?
Friday. And then Saturday, Sunday, Monday at evening wasn't until they went to go check the ugly tuna. And Monday mornings when they picked up the trash.
I mean, it's a theory.
I think the theory stands better than some other theories out there.
Yeah, like putting on a hat and extra pair of clothes that he has in his back pocket. Which makes total sense.
Right. So I honestly, that's my personal opinion. Whatever anyone else's opinion is out there, unfortunately, I hope to be proven wrong. I don't think he's alive to this day. I think Clint has something to do with it. And that's just, that's my theory. Please prove me wrong. But in doof, doof, doof. Right.
What?
But unless someone comes forward, someone finally can't hold the guilt in anymore. But until then, the case may never be solved. But I hope it does. Derek, Brian's younger brother, the only surviving family member of them, he needs some sort of closure. He's married. He has a child. And Brian has missed on everything. Everything his younger brother has achieved. Derek lost both his parents and his brother in a 2-year span. Hopefully something comes out soon in regards to Brian Schaefer.
Hearts go out to you, buddy.
Right. So, if you're out there, Brian, come out. Yeah. Please prove us all wrong that you're still alive.
What was Brian's brother?
Derek.
Derek, you want a beer? I'm here for you, buddy.
Right. So, he's lived his life, or he's living his life. He has kids. He has a wife. And Brian has missed all this. Missed him getting married. Missed him having his kid. Missed him all these holidays and so on and so forth. And I'm sure Derek is in desperate need of his brother, if his brother's out there. If not, someone needs to come forward with the truth and with answers to help solve this case, because it's going to remain unsolved if no new evidence comes out.
Right.
So, again, if you have anything at all regarding Brian Schaefer, if you know any information at all, please call the Columbus Police at 614-645-2358. And that's the case of Brian Schaefer. What do you guys think?
Cadaver dogs are amazing.
Aliens?
No. At this point, it's no longer aliens. After the facts come through, I don't know.
It sounds like a case of accidental death.
That's what it sounds like.
And somebody freaking out and not knowing how to handle the situation.
Right.
I mean, if it's accidental.
Any more recent news on Clint? Like, What happened to this guy? There's nothing.
He lawyered up. They can't do anything. He lawyered up.
That sucks. That really sucks for the family. I mean, it does sound like the brother's moving on, though, so.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's still active. He's still active in the case. He still has picked up from where his dad has left off and so on and so forth. But, you know, he had to keep going and moving forward with his life, which is congratulations to him. But in the meanwhile, you know, thank you guys for listening to another episode of Tea Time Horror Stories. I hope you guys enjoyed this one just as much as I did. I love doing this research and trying to figure things out. If you guys have a case you have in mind that you want me to cover, just send it to me. You can either DM us on any social media. We have Facebook, Instagram, and so on and so forth. I try to answer back if that is the case. Or you can just email us at teatimehorrorstories@gmail.com. Until next time. Stay spooky, y'all.
Happy hunting. Still don't have one. I'll see you guys later.
Bye.